Hello and welcome to Season 9, Episode 44 of the Ubuntu Podcast. In this episode, we're going to review our 2016 absolutely accurate predictions and make predictions for 2017 with lots of hope and wish. We'll also have some command line love and we'll go over your feedback. I'm Laura and joining me this week are Alan.
Hello, hello, welcome back.
Hi, thank you. Martin.
Hello again.
Hello. And Mark.
Hello.
Hello. So, Alan, what have you been up to?
I don't have enough ThinkPads, so I bought another one. I'm now up to 5 ThinkPads. The latest one that I've bought is the oldest one that I now own. It's a ThinkPad 755C, and it is like a gigantic breeze block of a laptop. It's
wow,
huge.
What vintage is that?
It's four. You can get them in two models, 486 DX2, and I think they did a DX4 model maybe.
Yes, according to this page, they did.
Good. So I've memorized that page well. The interesting
four
thing
megabytes
is,
of memory. Well,
No, this one's got more. It's got 4 meg on board, but it's got an 8 meg card inside. So it's got. It's interesting because it was one of the ones where you can pull 2 levers towards yourself and tip the keyboard up, and you just get straight into the laptop, no screws needed, and pull out the hard drive, the battery, and the floppy drive. And underneath the floppy drive is an 8 megabyte memory card to bring you up to more memory.
You say laptop?
Yes.
If you actually have this on your lap, I imagine your legs would go to sleep pretty quick.
Well, yes. I haven't actually used it yet because the one thing I lack, it came without a charger, and it's unlike any other ThinkPad. It has a very weird charger connector. It's like a hexagonal shaped port with 4 pins in it. Now, it is possible to get those chargers, but they're getting rarer and rarer. So what I did was I took a trip down to my local electronics boutique and bought a 4-pin connector and the male equivalent that I could put on a cable and wire up myself. So I would like jerry-rig my own power connector and cable.
That sounds perfectly safe.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit like Mark in the summer, actually, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I'm choosing to do this.
Now the question is, why are you going back to an era of the mid-1990s for a laptop?
For a bit of lols, and because I wanted a machine that I could play some old games on, and doing it in DOSBox is not quite the same.
You want real DOS.
You want that authentic MS-DOS experience.
Yeah, I kind of quite enjoyed those times of editing my config.sys and
simpler
loading
days
things in high memory. And
when I were a lad, all this were punch cards.
And
exactly.
And are you going to be using MS-DOS or FreeDOS?
That depends, because I don't know how... I've not actually tried how compatible FreeDOS is.
Pretty good.
Okay, so I might use that, but I might just use MS-DOS because I know it will work. And I'm wait and see. It's all a new adventure. Hurrah.
Interesting. Or an old adventure, actually.
Well, yes.
Yeah. At some point, we should arrange for you to come into work and you can come visit the museum because there are a lot of vintage ThinkPads there.
Oh, don't, because I'll go in and steal one of the chairs. No, I won't. Edit that out. I won't. Yes, that would be lovely, Laura. Thank you.
Yes, you have to come down and we can get you a visitor pass and show you around. Martin, what have you been up to?
I've been working on 2 Raspberry Pi projects. The first one is I've installed Nextcloud on Ubuntu Core, powered by a Raspberry Pi 3, to set up a Nextcloud server, in air quotes, at home, all tucked in a Nextcloud box. And that's now being used for file sync and calendars and contacts and what have you for Louise and I. But a bit like Alan, I've been doing a bit of a retro thing. So another Raspberry Pi project I've been working on is using RetroPie, which is a distribution specifically set up with emulators and such. And I've created myself a SNES classic, a DIY SNES classic. So I've got the RetroPie running on the Pi 3, and then Alan gave me a tip about some controllers he'd been using. And the company is 8-Bit Do, and I found a different set of controllers by the same people, and they're called NES 30 Pro controllers, and they work over wireless. But they've got all of the same button and analog stick mappings that match the RetroPie exactly. So you can fully map them. And I've got two of those, and they're all set up over Bluetooth. So you can do two player games all wirelessly. And I went the extra mile and got myself a SNES 3D printed case for the Raspberry Pi from Etsy. And wow. I've also implemented the CRT scanline shaders to complete the retro look on the screen.
That and SNES you, case looks amazing.
It's really good.
It's, I mean, it's the American, it's the, yes. The American Famicom.
And it's also bigger than the Pi, so it means that when the Pi is in it and it's got controllers connected, it's big enough that it doesn't get flipped around and moved about by, the controller cables and stuff when they're charging. Yeah.
A photo of the whole gubbins you've done.
I haven't yet, but I'll try and get one. It's all packed away at the moment because the plan is I'm taking this to the family for Christmas and we're all going to play old-fashioned games for Christmas.
Oh my gosh, I'm totally going to do that as well.
Excellent. Let's get on with the show. And now it's time to review our 2016 predictions, see what happened, what didn't, and then make some new ones for 2017, because we just can't get enough of these predictions.
So, we can't get enough of being right all the time. That's what
it is. That warm feeling. And speaking of that, I seem to be first on the list. So let's start with mine.
Go on then, Laura. What was your first prediction?
So my first one was 3D printing will become more accessible and mainstream. I don't think it has.
In my world, it has.
Yes, okay. But your world where you have a makerspace.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a 3D printing company.
Yeah.
So I was chatting to someone about this, and we agreed that it's less that it's become more accessible and main. Well, it's become more accessible, but it's more that online prototyping has got bigger.
Mm.
Because home printing, you're only always going to be limited by the cost of the parts and the pieces, and it's never going to get brilliant. But at scale, you can do it a lot better. And the internet's great for providing services. And, soon we'll have drones to deliver them anyway. So,
well, see, this is a tricky one because, if your argument had been, are Chromebooks mainstream or something like that? And my first thing would be go and have a look on Amazon and see if I can buy a Chromebook. And I just used the same argument for 3D printers. And I just typed 3D printer and selected the category 3D printers. And there are 17 pages of stuff to do with 3D printers. And all of the first page is all completely different printers. So I would argue that they are more accessible and mainstream. If you could just type 3D printer into Amazon and click buy now, that I would say is a winner.
And
I
you could also type some very, very niche things into Amazon and still get a lot of results.
Yeah, but 17 pages of the things.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's changed much since this time last year, though, because this time last year I was using that one that Andy SC's got, and that seemed pretty.
So I'm going to support your argument by saying this. I think 3D printing has become more accessible because you don't need a 3D printer. Like you say, there are so many online services now where you can have your thing printed for you and sent to you without going to the expense of having to own your own 3D printer. It's become accessible through services.
And an especially long show if we argue like this about it.
Yeah. What's up next then, Laura?
Alan, do you want to give us one?
No. yeah, okay. I said there'll be 10 commercial Ubuntu Touch devices by the end of 2016.
Are there?
Wrong. No, there are not.
Oh dear.
There was like 5, I think, total.
Oh well, okay. Halfway there.
Give us one of yours.
I said one of the top 5 Linux distributions, according to distrowatch.com, will have a desktop release with Wayland or Mir as the default display server. I also suggested that it probably wouldn't be well received due to missing features and or poor driver support. So, at the time I made this prediction, the top 5 distros on DistroWatch were Mint, no, Debian, no, Ubuntu, no, OpenSUSE, no, and Fedora. And Fedora 25 did ship with Wayland.
Yay.
So I'm going to give myself half a point for that because I don't know whether it was well received or not.
I think actually it has been pretty well received, yeah,
damn,
by and large.
Okay, so I get half because something did ship with Wayland, but I lose the other half because it wasn't bad.
Okay, Martin.
Mine was Vulkan will be finalized and released. Linux drivers will be released for Intel IGPs as open source, NVIDIA via proprietary drivers, and AMD via proprietary drivers. Steam OS will include Vulkan support, non-equivalent hardware. Linux will outperform Windows 10. Android will announce support, but Vulkan will not be announced for iOS.
That's a lot of predictions in one.
I know, it was like I called it the accumulator prediction. The long story is Intel, NVIDIA and AMD and Android all have Vulkan support now. There was some benchmarks conducted earlier in the year that showed that the Linux implementation was faster than Windows.
Yeah, that one too.
And SteamOS has Vulkan support and iOS didn't announce official support, but a third party has.
Oh.
Oh, if I had a jingle for cha-ching, then yes, you've got
Yay.
That. So, Laura, what was your second one?
IoT, Internet of Things, the infrastructure scaling and security would be going back to 70s computing. And this is a bit of a vague one, but it was basically that the stuff that matters in IoT now is the infrastructure, which isn't designed for it. For example, getting two-way communications through home routers, which are designed to have one-way in general. And all lots of things. And this is all based on Matt Bidulf, as of old Doppler, presentation at ThingMonk 2015. I think I was suggesting that it would get more obvious that these things were more important. I don't know whether that's a good
I think it's got more obvious these things are more important, but for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's become obvious that these things are not secure and are communicating two ways in a home network when perhaps people didn't want them to be.
Okay.
Alan?
So this is a tricky one because I said a large motor vehicle manufacturer will switch to using Ubuntu Snappy for the in-car system. Ooh. Now, given the lead time on creating the infrastructure for a new motor vehicle to hit the road and for it to actually hit the road is quite long, I would say come back to that one next year or the year after and maybe this was true this year.
As in it was in development.
Yes, but it never it didn't publicly come out until the following year. So
this is
that's
a rollover
no.
prediction.
Yeah, I think it will be a rollover, but I'm willing to take a no for now, but come back and gloat when it's true in 2 years' time.
Okay. Mark?
I said the release of Ubuntu's first converged device will be accompanied by significant mainstream marketing and media coverage, i.e. not just tech news sites. I don't think I got a point on this one.
Do we have a first converged device?
Exactly.
So no. Well, that could be... Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, right, no.
It'd be Martin. Great if we're converged into a card dashboard.
Next up, I've got two sentences, and I'd only like you to listen to the first one. Virtual reality will continue to lack adoption. There will be no official VR headset products for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, or Steam.
There's one for PS4 as well.
The PS4 is released. The Xbox One hasn't. That's expected next year.
Right.
But in terms of the lacking adoption, just very quickly, the PlayStation VR has sold 750,000 units. It was expected to do 2.6 million. The Vive has done 450,000 units. It was expected to do 2.1 million. The Rift has done 355,000 units and it was expected to do 3.6 million. So I've got, I think, half a point there.
But his market research wasn't so good either.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple people's market research.
Yeah, the hype machine is strong here, I think.
Back to you, Laura.
So my final one was related to the other one, to do with Internet of Things. Privacy issues will become more prominent in the development of Internet of Things products. Botnets.
Right, you were definitely on the money there.
So I think
poor security of IoT devices, routers, and denial of service on internet. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh,
definitely, positively.
And the other thing is I added a link here because there's FBI new powers, which there was an article saying that personal computers can now be viewed as a crime scene when something like this happens.
Wow.
I've put a link in.
Okay. Alan, what else did you say?
My next one, I said Edward Snowden will leave Russia. Now,
I think like your car prediction, that's going to be a rollover for next year.
Right, but I said in 2016. Yeah. So, but
a few days left.
Well, arguably, we don't know where he is. He might be in Russia.
You're clutching at straws there, I think.
Yeah, I am, but no.
Maybe somewhere in Texas.
I didn't get that one. I might as well throw my second one, my last one in there as well, which was that Julian Assange will leave the Ecuadorian embassy. It's
in
getting close. Maybe it's getting close, but no, not this year. So, yeah, maybe both of those next year. Who knows? Mark?
My last one, I said a big game publisher with its own digital distribution platform, i.e. not Steam. So someone like Blizzard or EA will release a Linux version of its client software. I don't think I can claim this one either. Oh, well. But Steam is still going strong, which is good.
Martin,
I said there will be at least 10 consumer products not intended for makers and not manufactured by the Raspberry Pi Foundation launched for sale in 2016 that use a Raspberry Pi of any model at its heart. And I've made a list of devices, and it's up to the my co-presenter's discretion as to whether they all qualify or not. I've got a list of 15.
I think, yeah. I think a lot of them count. Nice. Some are more makery than others, but a lot of them do seem to be more aimed at consumers. Things like the Pi Drive and the Next Cloud Box, and you know, we've been talking about the Next Dock and so on. Yeah. So yeah, I think some of these definitely satisfy that.
Overall, I think, what's our scores? Laura, 1.5. Me, 0.
I got a half.
Half. And Martin?
2.5.
3 million. Is
3 million.
And we've got some predictions from the listeners last year, a few of which are worth pointing out.
Quickly, really.
Yeah. So the ones that are worth pointing out is Isaac Carter said a Raspberry Pi would be released with built-in Wi-Fi, and he was dead right.
Yeah.
And Sturmflirt said that Sousa would be sold once again, and we all laughed when we read that out, and he was right.
So, predictions for 2017.
Go first.
You are.
Alan.
Oh, blimey. Okay, so am I doing all three or just one?
Just the first one.
Okay, so my first one, I've said... I haven't actually finished typing this, so I'm going to have to make it up as I go along. Multiple devices from various tier one vendors will ship with Ubuntu Snappy by default.
And what's a tier one vendor?
Like your Dells, HPs, Cisco, yeah. Intel, Cisco. Yeah, like top line big names that everyone has heard of will ship with hardware devices that have Ubuntu Snappy as the default OS.
And how many did you say?
I didn't. I said multiple.
Okay.
More than one. Okay.
Better get on it now then.
Yeah.
Giving myself a job to do next year.
Fuck.
My first prediction is that there will be no new Ubuntu phone on sale in 2017.
Ooh.
Controversial.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is just based on the fact that since the Meizu Pro 5... it all seems to have gone quiet over there. So I'm kind of, unfortunately, I'm not very optimistic that it's going to suddenly pick up again.
That's a good one. That's a good prediction. I like that.
Martin?
Okay, my first one is that Ubuntu 17.10 will be able to run Mir using proprietary NVIDIA drivers, and Steam will work reliably via Xmir.
This sounds like something which you might have
don't. I have no involvement in the Mir development whatsoever.
Okay.
And I've also said it will be possible to run Mir in VirtualBox.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Okay.
Who's I next? Do some that...
Yes?
Yeah, you can check them next year. Red Hat will buy Docker.
That wouldn't surprise me.
It was 2 years ago I predicted that VMware would buy Docker, and VMware didn't buy Docker. Someone's going to buy Docker. So this year I'm going to say Red Hat will buy Docker.
Interesting. Not Microsoft?
Interesting.
Okay. Well, someone will buy Docker.
Someone at Red Hat recently told me that Docker were launched with the idea of being bought by Microsoft. And that didn't happen. But now Red Hat might, yeah, Red Hat okay. buying them is, instead is
someone,
reasonable.
Possibly Red Hat will buy Docker.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So go on, Alan, next.
GitHub will significantly downsize their 600 workforce to a much smaller number and may also do something controversial in order to raise funds.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mark?
My next prediction is an optimistic one. The UK government will lose a court case related to the Investigatory Powers Act.
I was going to go with something like that.
So, no, what I mean is there will be a court case against the someone will bring a case against the government over powers introduced by this act, probably over a human rights issue, I would expect.
Okay.
And they will lose.
I'll allow it.
Okay.
Martin?
Right, well, I'm going to put this one in number two then. A high-profile individual or individuals will fall victim to one of the many privacy threats introduced as a result of the Investigatory Powers Bill. Intimate details of their online life will be exposed to the world, compiled from one or more databases storing internet connection records. The disclosure will probably have serious consequences for the individuals concerned, such as losing their job or being professionally discredited.
That's a prediction, not incitement. Let's make it's that clear.
So are you saying that this will be a breach of that data, or are you saying this will be the data being accessed through legitimate means?
Inappropriate use of access to that data.
Okay.
So it could be the ISP or the Welsh Ambulance Service or
anything. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll hit the news because it's high profile.
Yep.
Laura, what's next?
So people will whinge some more about the term serverless computing instead of embracing it as a great computing experience, and I think that's because it's what the cloud computing was meant to be.
Okay. I see that... my next one is Microsoft will provide a Linux build of another significant application, possibly Exchange or SharePoint.
Mm. Interesting.
Mm.
Even they've done. Did you say SQL announce server. Or release?
I said it provide.
I think that means release.
Potato, potato.
Okay, my last prediction is that this time next year, I'm going back to DistroWatch again, one of the top five distros on DistroWatch will be a distro that is not currently in the top 20.
Mm.
So I think that we're going to have something new come along.
Asteroid
and we're going to be talking about it a lot.
Something from outside the top 20?
Yes.
So I noticed that things like KDE Neon are just outside the top 20.
Yeah.
Ails is outside the top 20. And Android x86. There's some interesting Solus? Ones.
I think Solus is in the top 20.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, something which is currently sort of, we might mention now and then, which is on the fringes, or something that we just never talk about at all, I think is going to jump
fringes
up there.
Like Kubuntu down at number 49.
Yeah.
Or Red Hat at 44.
Anyway, Martin.
Right, the hype surrounding VR will continue to build during 2017, but virtual reality will continue to lack adoption. Sales figures will be well below market projections.
Hey, Laura, what's your next one?
I will finish my PhD. I will finish my PhD. I will finish my PhD.
I had one last one because I actually had four. I don't know if I can throw this in. I predict that Donald Trump will not last a year as president.
Wow,
that
really?
That also is not incitement.
Now, Laura, we've got some predictions from some of the listeners as well.
Yeah. So this was for this year, for 2017. Anonymous John says, an independent review of System D will identify an NSA backdoor. Amicable Ware Zonky says, I predict Ubuntu 17.10 will be called Affable Axolotl.
I like that.
Quite
name.
Likely.
Yeah.
Ryan Murphy says, I predict Mycroft will get to the point where it's ready to ship with 18.04 in 2017. At Poppy will have mixed feelings.
Well, I'll have mixed feelings about it time traveling.
Is that? Oh yeah.
To be fair, it will need to be ready for 1804 in 2017. It will
That's
need
fair.
To be. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Fair enough. Raymond says, soulless to get into the top 10 on Distro Watch.
Uh-huh.
Dalton Durst says, UB ports get the FP2 to daily driver service status.
Yes, that's Fairphone 2, is it?
That's right. Two, yeah, Ubuntu on the Fairphone 2, yeah.
Yelma Prince says, Trump does something stupid.
That's fitting in with Alan.
Jay says, in the UK, someone will be arrested for something trivial, e.g. using a VPN or watching unusual content. The general public won't understand, care, or listen when their techie friends try to explain it, and the cycle of blissful ignorance will continue.
That'll be very probable. Yeah.
Matthias Ritter says, at least one company releases at least one Ubuntu phone within the year 2017. Hope never dies.
So that's a counter exact to yours. Odds with me.
Yeah.
Only Moritz. One of us can win.
Yeah. Moritz says Ubuntu Mate with Brisk Menu will get a lot of positive press.
Okay. I don't know what Brisk Menu is, but it's okay.
Oh, well, okay. It's going to be positive then.
And the good news is we don't have time to let Martin talk about it.
Oh, well. And finally, Andrew Hazen says at least one proprietary vendor will use Snaps to allow use of their application or service on Ubuntu.
Interesting. Cool.
Thank you to everybody that sent them in. We couldn't go through them all because we're already way over time and you're getting a bumper New Year show.
And right. we'll publish them in the show notes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can go back and laugh at them next year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're right there, Mark. And now it's time for command line love. And this one is a command that I discovered only this week. And I needed it to be able to determine what files were being changed in a particular directory. So I knew some files in a directory were being changed somewhere. But I wasn't quite sure in the directory structure which files were being changed. And I wanted to monitor it while I ran another command because I knew the other command would touch those files. So the useful command I used here was inotifywait. And if you run inotifywait and give it a directory name, there's a couple of extra command line options, -mr I used for recursive. What that will do is monitor a directory and just sit there and say nothing once it's set up the monitoring. You then run whatever other command you want that you think touches something in that directory, and then inotifywait will echo every file access that happens in that directory. So if anything tries to open a file in that directory or write to or read from or whatever, it will spit out a line for every file IO operation that happens. And I found that super useful. Martin's application, pod publish, because I wanted to know what files it was trying to read from and write to, and I used inotifywait and pointed at a directory and then ran pod publish, and it told me what it was doing, which was
cool.
We love getting your feedback, so please send it to us. Even the pointlessly mean stuff makes us laugh. If it's short, tweet us on @UbuntuPodcast. If it's less short, but please no essays, email us on show@ubuntupodcast.org. If you'd like to discuss some of the things we talk about with other listeners, post on our shiny new subreddit at reddit.com/r/ubuntupodcast, or you can just leave a comment on the relevant show notes on our website, ubuntupodcast.org.
And now it's time for some of that wonderful feedback that Laura has just told us about. And first up this week, we need to address Armbindergate. Sean Anderson at Monica42 tweeted us.
Guessing by the promo image, seems the podcast has gone in quite a different direction since I listened years ago.
Joe Shields at DirectHex tweeted us.
Women in bondage gear seems like an odd choice of imagery for a Ubuntu podcast.
Garlic Dog posted on our subreddit.
Okay, which one of you posted that picture?
Ian Forbes emailed us.
I often listen to your website at work as I sit in my microscope in an open-planned office. Imagine my joy when I navigated to your website and a perfectly rendered picture of two people in bondage gear popped up on my oversized monitor for all to see. I assume the next image will be GIMP, not the image editor next time.
Shouldn't be laughing. Bull messagist on IRC.
Are you chaps trying to get me fired? I'll have to remember not to visit your website while I'm at the office. Grumbles about bondage photos.
And RF Layton emailed us.
Enjoyed the podcast. Seems like years. The picture shows your true colours. Too bad. Thanks for the fish, limey morons.
I have to wonder about that one. What are our true colours?
Well, who knows? So,
go on. What's the story?
Well, we do apologise if that image caused you any embarrassment, awkwardness, or offended you. The image was chosen to try and represent the bondage that the UK population are now in as a result of the Investigatory Powers Bill. And maybe we overstepped the mark there. It won't happen again. And it's the last time Joe Ressington has any artistic influence over the show.
Also, the show is called Pine in the Neck and they had a collar on. So we thought that was a funny pun. We don't give a lot of thought to these things.
Yes.
Fair. These pictures do get chosen at 11 o'clock at night when people are very hysterically tired.
And we didn't really think the impact of that image through.
Yeah, we didn't think, people are going to be looking at this at work. Yeah, we thought.
We did not. So sorry. Right. Anyway. On to the rest of the feedback. Ralph Ham from Lab Do emailed us at show@ubuntupodcast.org.
It was great to meet and talk to you guys at UberCon Essen and learn about the Mate desktop. After our talk, LabDo started to test Mate, and it's great! Your team is doing a good job. By coincidence, the LabDo hub Irvine in California asked me to accept Mate into our project too. So, in the end, we were so convinced from your work that we've dropped XFCE desktop and we made Mate desktop the default desktop. LXDE is still installed on our LabDo laptops as a fallback to support slow laptops with less than half a gig of RAM. So, I'm sorry to ruin the interview we did in Germany, but you have to bleep the word XFCE, smiley face. You can find Mate already documented in our LabDo manual. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a sound and successful 20.
Oh,
a lovely chap. Yeah, he's a good Ralph bloke. Family.
Yeah, thank you, Ralph, for the feedback. Sammy left a comment on our IRC.
Popey, the Ubuntu podcast is amazing. That is all.
Ja left a comment on our website.
Anyone on the show already mentioned outernet.is to the labdo.org folks? Are you all aware of this? I figured you were already aware given your collective exposure to all things Pi on the show. It could work quite well in tandem with some of the laptops that won't get access to the internet as it is.
Oh, what's that?
I don't know either, but it sounds like something we should probably forward to Ralph.
Sorry to disappoint you, Duke. We're apparently not collectively exposed to all things Pi.
Mark, not that one, the other one, Hello. Emailed us.
If you wish to use maps on Android phone offline, then have a look at maps.me. This was in relation to our comment about using data usage. And there are a number of options, and I'll look at that one as well. Thank you, Mark.
Henry Sprog emailed us.
Sorry to bother you, but I've run out of ideas. To cut a long story short, about 6 weeks ago, I installed an image on the Meizu Pro 5 from the RC channel, which just kept rebooting the phone. After many hours of trying to fix it, I had the bright idea of locking and unlocking the bootloader. Unfortunately, the bootloader will not unlock, and it seems to want a 16-digit code like the Huawei. I have contacted Meizu and JD.com, who I bought it off, and neither can provide a solution. I've also Googled my little socks off, and now I can find no clue as to how to unlock the bootloader, and the only other one person on the XDA forum that has done the same. If you have no ideas, then please can you put the word out not to try and lock the bootloader. P.S. I was the one sitting next to Martin at FOSS Talk Live when Stuart Langridge said during the mashup that I should be stuffed by Canonical for using the Ubuntu phone as my daily driver, which I really did.
I think he meant that in a good way.
Yes. Daniel 66666 posted a comment on our website.
I'm guessing that one of you have made the comment, what kind of lunatic uses 7-Zip?
Yes,
that was right. Mark.
So in response to that, he says, isn't P7-Zip one of the only compression formats in Ubuntu that utilizes SMP? .xz still doesn't support it according to the man page.
Actually, so, I believed I was asking who wouldn't use 7-Zip. Alan asked what kind of lunatic uses 7-Zip.
Oh, sorry, Mark. Sorry, Mark, I'm doing you a disservice. So in response to that, XZ 5.2 did add multi-threaded support, but it's only in the Ubuntu archive from 1704 onwards. But if you're interested in speeding up compression, there's PicZ, which is XZ compatible, and it is in the Ubuntu archive since 1404, and also of note are LBZIP2, PBZIP2, and PigZ. LBZIP2 and PBZIP2 use the same compression algorithm as PZIP, and PIGS uses the lib and is compatible with GZIP.
Do send us an email if you understood anything Martin just said.
Any sense whatsoever.
Urko Massey left a comment on our website.
I find PA tool a lot better than A tool and more up to date.
And less confusing as well.
Good.
John emailed us.
Your podcast is informative, humorous, and a weekly must. Thank you for your efforts. The Project Ring looks very interesting. Could you do a review of Ring, including an explanation of how it works? Not just how to use it, also how it functions.
You right there, Mark?
I'm fine. It's Christmas. I'm just in high spirits. I hope you agree this will be an interesting topic for the show. Distro, the distro that can't be named, 1604-1, Hardware Tuxedo Core, NB. The Tuxedo Workshop will be changing in 2017 to provide an interface with more languages. At the moment, it's just in German.
I actually have Ring installed on my laptop. I installed it a while ago when someone else recommended it.
What is it?
It's like Skype.
Skype alternative, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's GNOME-based. And I've never actually used it because I don't know anyone else who uses it. It's the usual network effect. But it may well be that it can connect to other things. I don't know. It auto starts every time I start my laptop. And every time I start my laptop, I close Ring. That's the very first thing I do. So I'm not a very good Ring user. If anyone else uses Ring and would like to test it with me, get in touch.
Using Ring.
Yes.
Steve Griffith emailed the show.
How do I get seasons 1 through 7?
You go to podcast.ubuntu-uk.org.
Yeah, you can do that, but you have to listen to them through the website one at a time because Martin broke the RSS feeds when he archived the old site.
Whoops.
Which I will fix soon. I did say earlier in this season I would fix, and I didn't get time. But as we're approaching the end of our season 9, I will have the time to look at that. So look for a tweet on @UbuntuPodcast in the near future.
There is actually a workaround to this. If you just want to grab the audio files, if you go to static.podcast.ubuntu-uk.org, you can just navigate down the directory tree and grab all the seasons. They're all there, all the MP3s and OGG files. Please don't just scrape the entire site because it will kill all of our bandwidth. But you can get them all from the static site should you want to.
And as it's the last show of the year, we should probably also mention that bandwidth is provided for us by our lovely sponsor, Bitfolk.
It is.
Thanks, Andy. And that's all for episode 44 for season 9 and for me. So thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yes, thank you for being there for us, Laura, and thank you for coming back for this last episode.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks, amazing
it's been
fun
great
for
to
so
have
many
you back.
Years.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. Merry Christmas, and may the Force be with you.
Maybe we'll see you next year. Maybe
not. Or maybe
not.
We won't. Yeah.
Ooh.
Bye. Bye.